Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. My name is Pastor Scott Warnick. I am the prison minister. Before we begin with tonight's prayer, I would like you to listen to Miss Amy Grant for a minute. And her song is Imagine the Wondrous Song of Jesus.
I can only imagine, oh, creation.
Well, good evening, everybody. I want to tell you what, I am fired up with this, preparing for the end time. But I want to read first. Luke 22:32 says, "But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Father God, we pray our faith will not fail when we are put to the test. Help us to resist doubt and fear so that our foundation will be built solidly in Christ and therefore will not crumble. Enable us to be a person who strengthens the faith of others because our faith in you is so great. Help us to stand strong no matter what is happening. Amen. You know, it's kind of funny. I'm so fired up before I get into this. I do want to tell you. Celebrated my 60th birthday yesterday. I guess I had a decent birthday. I don't know. But I guess as we get older in time, our children seem to forget that their parents are still around. But that's no big deal. We still pray and try to help our kids when they call. You know, I have family in the East Coast, and I pray for them often. Though we don't get to see each other very much, living over 2,000 miles apart. And I noticed that my friend just came online in the studio from Haifa, Israel, and I'm glad to have you with me tonight. So I want to begin this preparing for the end time. I want you to understand that most of the gospel readings I give you, I brought them out of the New American Standard Bible, the NASB. As I taught on Bible prophecy in different Bibles back a few months ago, there are many Bibles out there. I like the NASB. I like the New King James. They're easy to understand. You must understand now, these Bibles are not perfect. But they get us to where we need to be in understanding and terminology. So let's begin for preparing for the end time, shall we? Approximately a fourth of the Bible is prophetic in nature. Much of this material is profoundly connected to world-changing events. The Bible is perennially up to date. Yes, it is up to date. It's an applicable book. Regarding earth-shaping trends and occurrences, no section of Scripture is more applicable to our world than the Olivet prophecy, recorded in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. This is where Jesus himself warns us to be vigilant about our spiritual state. He describes and summarizes the conditions and events that will lead to his second coming. Now, what should we be doing or not doing as that time draws closer? Have we ever thought of this? I haven't. I'll be the first to admit it. As an ordained minister, I'll be the first to admit this. Now, after describing the dire state of the world to which he would return, Jesus said to his disciples regarding the exact time of his coming. Mark 13:32, quoting, "But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." That we will not know for sure does not mean we should neglect to keep a watchful eye on world trends and conditions on our own spiritual condition. But you have to notice what Jesus instructs in the next verse, verse 33. "Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is." He then compared himself and his second coming to a man who traveled to a distant country, left his servants in charge of his property, and asked the doorkeeper, and this is verse 35, to stay on the alert till he returned. Then Jesus Christ gives his warning to his disciples a second time. "Therefore, be on alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming." Do y'all understand this? This is strictly scripture, people. My brothers and sisters, this is strictly scripture. Because you have to understand, next he warns his servants not to fall asleep on the job. Followed by a third and final appeal, emphasizing the importance of their task. Verse 37, now we're still in Mark 13 now. Verse 37 says, and what I say to you, I say to all, be on alert. Now, Luke's account emphasizes our personal conduct with Christ, warning us to be diligent in keeping our personal spiritual house in order and showing us exactly the kind of distractions to avoid. Now, Luke tells us in Luke 21, verses 34 through 35, this is if you're writing your scripture down, he says, be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day, now that's of Christ's return, come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Have I not told you all this? Even when we studied Revelations and Genesis? Because the vast majority of people, and says Jesus Christ, will be taken by surprise. They will not be spiritually alert, much less aware as prophesied conditions and trends develop. Christ wants his servants to avoid falling into this trap. So he tells us in verse 36 of Luke 21, but keep on the alert. Now we're hearing this again. We heard it in Mark. Now we're hearing it from Luke. At all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, in his exhortation regarding the day of the Lord, the Apostle Peter asked in 2 Peter 3:11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Have you all ever thought of this? Have you read 2 Peter? He backs up everything the Gospels are telling us. Because the emphasis throughout is on the importance of personal preparedness for Christ's coming and having a heightened alertness and anticipation of that event. Protection for God's servants, one of the most encouraging aspects of this subject is knowing that God has promised to watch over and care for his people during this time of unprecedented worldwide turmoil. Now tell me, do we not have worldwide turmoil today? Jesus said there is nothing wrong with wanting to avoid suffering the end time disasters. In fact, as we saw in Luke 21:36, he encourages us to be alert and aware, watching our own spiritual state, not fleshly state, but our spiritual state, as well as world events and conditions, and earnestly praying we will be worthy to escape the coming devastation. Now, if it occurs during our lifetime, just as in Noah's day, God will provide a way for many of the faithful to be protected during those 3.5 years. Y'all remember that when I told you on my last few teachings, 3.5 years. As Zephaniah 2:3 tells us, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice, seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Now, although Satan will try to destroy God's people, as he tries today, God will provide the means for many of them to be spared this dangerous time, as I taught in Revelations 12:13 through 17. You see, Jesus says he will care for those who faithfully serve him during that time. He tells when one faithful group at the end, and he quoted this in Revelations 3:10, and I quote, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Now that's Revelations 3:10. Now in Revelation 7, God's servants are sealed and spared from the coming global upheavals. And he tells us this in the first two verses, 2 and 3. "Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he tried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads.'" Now, who are these servants of God, we wonder? They're us. We are his servants. But notice how the book of Revelation describes them. In Revelations 12, verse 17, 14, verse 12, and 22, verse 14, and he says, "They are those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus, those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, and those who do his commandments." So you must understand, the book of Revelations shows that those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus are God's people. Yet, sadly, prophecy reveals that not all of God's people will be protected during the end time. Christ foretold that part of his church at the end would not be spiritually ready. In Matthew 25, his parable of the 10 virgins shows that some of his people would neglect their spiritual state and be unprepared. I pray I am not one of those unprepared. And I pray y'all are not one of those unprepared. Because he concludes the parable with this warning. In Matthew 25:13, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Consequently, as the end time begins, some of God's people will be protected from Satan's persecutions, while others bear the brunt of the devil's fury. And we can read that in Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11, Revelation 12, verses 14 and verse 17. "Because a time to be spiritually awake, although the end time is a period of unprecedented world trouble, it is also the threshold of God's kingdom." You see, Paul gives a wonderful perspective of how we should spiritually prepare for that time, regardless of when. Regardless of when it comes. And Paul tells us this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 11. And Paul stated, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness." We're not in the darkness, brothers and sisters. He tells us this. He tells us this straight out. We're not in the darkness. "That the day should overtake you like a thief, for you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober." having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are doing. So we must see that. We should take great comfort in God's promises and the knowledge he has made available about the end time. The good news is that if we prepare ourselves spiritually, this can be a time of confidence, hope, and joy, leading inexorably to God's incomparable kingdom. As Jesus assures us in Luke chapter 21, verse 28, quoting, "Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." Do you understand that? Our redemption draws near. I want to take a minute break. There is no commercials on this radio show, but I want you to listen to Reverend Cal O'Hare. He is an 85-year-old man. He just started singing. You can download his music free on YouTube. He's pretty good. And I will be right back.
Well, I got a song in my heart, Lord Jesus, it's you. 'Cause I found that yearning in my heart, it was all for you. All that beer drinking, honky tonking, heartaches and blues, it was just that yearning in my heart, searching, Lord Jesus, for you. Yes, boys, I've heard all your beer drinking and honky tonk songs, and don't it make your brown eyes blue? I searched and I searched, couldn't find one that was true. Now I got a song in my heart, Lord Jesus, it's you. 'Cause I found that yearning in my heart, it was all for you. All that beer drinking, honky tonking, heartaches and blues, it was just that yearning in my heart, searching, Lord Jesus, for you. Yes, boys, I searched the honky-tonks and bars, and I searched and I searched. All I found was more and more drunkenness on my thirst. He said, "Son of man," he said, "if you'll drink from the living water, I'll quench your thirst." Well, now I got a song in my heart, Lord Jesus, it's you. 'Cause I found that yearning in my heart, it was all for you. All that beer drinking, honky tonking, heartaches and blues, it was just that yearning in my heart, searching, Lord Jesus, for you. It was just that yearning in my heart, searching, Lord Jesus, for you.
Well, Well, brothers and sisters, I hope you enjoyed that short little teaching, and I hope you join me Tuesday for living a transformed life. Because God did not design us to boss ourselves. He formed us to require authority so we'd live in the safety of His careful rule. My Jesus, according to your word, whoever has your commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves you. He who loves you will be loved by your Father, and you too will love him and show yourself to him. Oh God, please help us to live obediently and have the joy of seeing you revealed in all sorts of marvelous ways. Amen. Thank you for another day of talking to you. And I'd like to keep this ministry going. And if the Lord finds it in your heart, please send your donations to the Heritage of Faith Christian Church, P.O. Box 748, Crowley, Texas 76036. This is all tax deductible. And put in the memo for the prison minister, Scott Wernick, and I will receive it openly and gladly in the Lord. Thank you very much, and have a good night and a blessed one. Bye-bye.